afternoon. My name is Jasmine, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Illinois Rate Reform Model Data Extract Walkthrough conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Jenkins, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Jasmine. My name is Dan Jenkins. I work for Healthcare and Family Services. And I want to thank everyone for taking the time to join today's webinar. Over the last week or so, we've been sending out files containing claims priced under the proposed methodologies of the new reimbursement system that we are looking to put into place next July 1st. And we recognized there was a lot of information within those files. So we thought that a webinar to go over the components of the files would be the best way to clarify the data for you all as you look through your files. This webinar is geared more towards the technical components in the file and not toward the policy behind the reimbursement systems. But for some of you, you may not have as much background on the rate reform policies as others. And I just want to give a little background before we get into the claims files so that you're a little more familiar with what you're looking at just with more background knowledge, I guess. So, first off, we took $155 million and shifted that from your inpatient funding historically towards the outpatient side. And we also took the GRF static supplemental payments and incorporated those into the rates. Now, we also did hold out $200 million out of the inpatient side for a transitional pool that the department is looking to create supplemental payments in order to transition hospitals into the new system and to negate some negative impact that some hospitals may see. And then also, we've created some policy adjusters around some critical services such as pediatrics and trauma claims, and also applied an outpatient adjuster for those hospitals that serve or provide a high number of outpatient services. And we also made an adjustment to the outlier methodology based on the severity of illness. And what I would do, and instead of getting into a lot of detail on those adjusters, is direct you to the October 4th provider notice that was published to the hospitals that goes over those adjusters a little bit more detail and also touches on the shifting of funds. Now, with the shifting of funds from the inpatient to outpatient, we would just like to emphasize to you that when you are evaluating your claims data, that you evaluate the inpatient and outpatient collectively as a whole, because you'll see is some of the funding has moved from what you have been used to seeing in inpatient and have been moved over to outpatient to boost the outpatient rates a little bit. So again, when you are doing your evaluation of your claims data, if you would look at the inpatient and outpatient claims together as a whole. After you've had time to analyze your facility's claims data, if you have any feedback for the department, we would like you to please email that to hfs.hospitals@illinois.gov. And please, in the subject line, put shadow price response for us so that we can see that email as some feedback from your analysis of your claims data. And again, we would like to have those responses by the end of the month, so by November 30th. Also, we do recognize that some facilities have had some difficulties opening the files. If you continue to have those difficulties, please feel free to give us a call. Again, 217-785-0710 if you continue to have troubles opening the files. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Ben Morey with Navigant Consulting, who's been our partner throughout this process, and let him walk through the files that you have been receiving here over the last week or two.
Thank you, Dan. And for the folks on the call, hopefully people have been able to log on to the WebEx. And so right now I'm showing on my desktop an example claim extract for inpatient, and I'm going to walk through that. So, again, hopefully people have been able to log on. If you do not have Internet access, if you have your own claim extract, you can follow along with your own data, and I'll try to make sure to refer to the worksheets and the files that I'm referring to during this call. So like Dan mentioned, hopefully people have been able to download their claims data extracts. What we did was for what we call the shadow price model, where we applied modeled payment rates to state fiscal year 2013 claims data, we created separate Excel files for each hospital with the modeled claims data, and then we created a separate file for the inpatient model and then a separate file for the outpatient model. So first I will walk through an example inpatient claims data extract, which I'm showing here on my desktop. And this file contains several different worksheets, and I will walk through these at a high level, but towards the end I promise I will get into an individual claim pricing example so that you can see kind of how the math flows across the page and how we've gone about the pricing in our shadow price model. So the first tab you can see is called Variables, and this is really a data dictionary that contains all of the claims data fields in the claims data extract. And it's really for your reference. We've sorted it by variable name. We provided a description for each variable, and then we listed the data source for each variable. So this would tell you whether it is our calculation or whether this came from a Medicare rate source or whether it was from the 3M grouper output or actually from the state, from the claim record itself. So again, this is really for your reference. I won't go through all of these fields right now. But you know, refer to this if you're having any problems trying to track what's in the claims data extract. The next tab is called Formulas, and this describes the methodology or some of the pricing formulas as we went about simulating payments under the new proposed system for inpatient. And I will walk through at a high level how the pricing methodologies work for various types of claims, and then, like I said, shortly I will get into an individual claim example. So first, for acute services under the new APR-DRG system, from a methodology perspective, it's quite similar to what the current system has in terms of a base DRG payment, which is equal to the provider base rate multiplied by the DRG relative weight. So obviously the key difference is that we're updating to a newer grouper, the APR-DRG grouper, which means we have new relative weights, and then we've refreshed or rebased the provider base rates. The provider base rates are based on a standardized amount, the same for each hospital, but adjusted for wage index, the Medicare wage index. So in that way, it's similar to the Medicare system and similar to the current system, but we're refreshing those amounts. And so, again, the base DRG payment is simply the provider base rate multiplied times the relative weight. There's also an outlier payment provision, like the current system, where if the estimated cost of the claim exceeds the outlier threshold, then there is an outlier add-on payment in addition to the base DRG payment. And again, shortly I'll go into a claim example as to exactly how that calculation works. There's also a transfer provision, much like the current system and much like the Medicare system, where for an instance where a patient transfers from a hospital to another hospital or to a distinct part unit, if the length of stay for that case, the length of stay plus one, is less than the average for that DRG, then the claim payment is prorated. It's reduced from the full DRG payment. Again, so fairly consistent with the current system, but that is built into the new proposed system. In terms of inpatient specialty services, so for psychiatric services, for rehabilitation services, and for LTAC provider services. Those will be carved out of the DRG system and paid on a per diem basis like they are today. The payment rates have been rebased, but the basic pricing methodology is very straightforward. It is the provider per diem rate multiplied by the days in the claim. So again, fairly consistent in that respect to the current system. There are policy adjustments, and this is getting back to the acute DRG system, but there are policy adjusters that we've applied to certain key Medicaid services, and those are described in the document that Dan had referred to. But in the acute DRG system, we have modeled enhanced payments for certain key services. That there is a policy adjuster for transplant services. There's a policy adjuster for trauma services at level 1 and level 2 trauma centers. And then there's a separate policy adjuster for perinatal level 3 providers for their neonatal, normal newborn, and obstetrical DRG services. So what the policy adjuster does is to enhance both the base DRG payment and the outlier payment for those services. And the policy adjuster factor and the resulting payment is reflected in the claims data extract for the providers that qualify for that adjustment. And then lastly, on this formulas tab, we show some formulas related to the current system payments and the proposed system payments and how we've applied SMART Act reductions to those amounts. The shadow price claims data period that we're working with is for claims submitted in state fiscal year 2013, but while most of the claims have service dates in state fiscal year 13, it does mean that there are some claims with service dates before July 1, 2012. And what that means is that the reported claim payment did not reflect SMART Act reductions. And so since we're trying to compare the current system payments to the new system payments with SMART Act reductions applied, we went ahead and took the reported claim payments prior to July 1, 2012 and applied SMART Act reductions where applicable for those providers. For payments under the new system, we went ahead and applied the SMART Act reductions to all claims in our model. Okay, and so to clarify this note here on the formulas tab, where we say that the legislative adjustment was only applied to claims before July 1, 2012, that's the case for payments under the current system. But to clarify, and like I just mentioned, for payments under the new system, we went ahead and applied those legislative reductions to all claims in the shadow price model. Okay, so that's an overview of the formulas on that particular worksheet. There's another tab or worksheet called Payment Example, where we actually show the pricing for an individual claim. And so I'm going to walk through that in more detail now, and hopefully this gives you a feel for how we went about pricing the claims in the inpatient extract. This tab includes all of the data fields included in the extract. We listed it vertically, so hopefully it's a little easier to follow down the page. And I will go ahead and try to zoom in a little bit, so hopefully it's easier to read. One moment. Okay, so the variables listed on the data extract are organized such that we start with data reported in the claim, sort of identification type data, the provider ID, the claim number. We provided the provider reference number, and so that ought to allow you to tie this back to data in your own system. The claim DCN is the state's claim number for each claim. And then we provide the service date and the DRG under the current system. We then have a series of columns here related to payments under the current system. And so we're providing to you the charges in the claim, the net liability amount, various payment components reported in the claim record. And what we do is to calculate a payment amount that reflects the net liability amount net of any MPMH VA. We also add in any TPL or copay that was removed from the net liability amount to come up with really the allowed amount, the closest we come up with in terms of the allowed amount for the claim under the current pricing system. And then we apply any Smart Act reductions, again, for claims that were before July 1 of 2012. Okay. We then also show the MPA-MH VA amount and apply any legislative reductions as necessary. MPA-MH VA, under the model, it is assumed that MPA-MH VA would be carved out of the DRG system and paid as is going forward. So MPMH VA funding has not been rolled into the new DRG system. When you look at the impacts, MPMH VA is the same under the current system as it would be going forward. Okay. We have a couple of fields in here that we had a few questions about the LTAC add-on. This is really a placeholder from model versions from working with prior data where we did not have the LTAC add-on. But since we're working with 2013 data, we have the LTAC add-on present in the claim payment. And so those can be essentially ignored as you're looking at the model claims extract. We also show for payments under the current system an allocation of supplemental payments. Okay, but where we went through a process and took the supplemental payments, the GRF static payments, and allocated them to each claim in the data extract. And to go back to what Dan had mentioned, where because we're taking the GRF static funds and putting them into the DRG funding pool, we thought it would be appropriate for when providers are evaluating the impact from the current system to the new system that you see an allocation of the supplemental payments to each claim. So what we did was we allocated the supplemental payments to each claim based on charges, the ratio of the claim charge, the provider's total Medicaid charges in the model. And so you know, a piece of the supplemental payments is allocated to each claim. And so this final column here, total supplemental Medicaid payment with legislative reductions, reflects the base claim payment, any MPMH VA in the claim, plus an allocation of supplemental payments with any Smart Act reductions applied. So if you're just trying to get to the bottom line of what payment you received under the current system for a given claim, you would refer to this column here. Okay, the next series of columns refer to pricing under the proposed system. Okay. So we provide the APR-DRG assignment to the claim, the relative weight assigned for that particular DRG, and again, that would be used only for the acute category service 20 claims. Psych, rehab, and LTAC are paid on a per diem basis. So the next series of columns here, I'm really going to really refer to the acute DRG pricing. The next few columns are related to the charges in the claim and our estimate of costs, which ultimately gets used into the outlier payment calculation, where we take the charges in the claim. We have not done any inflation to the claim, but we take the charges reported in the claim. We take the Medicare operating and capital outlier CCRs, sum them together, and then multiply them times the claim charges to come up with an outlier cost for the claim. And that ultimately gets used in the outlier payment calculation, which I'll get into shortly. We then show the provider base rate, the DRG base rate. Again, this is based on a standardized amount, the same for all hospitals, of $3,365. We adjust the labor portion of the standardized amount for wage index and come up with a provider base rate. And so if you're looking for your provider base rate, that would be in the field called operating rate. And then the operating payment under the DRG system would simply be the provider base rate multiplied by the relative weight. for services paid on a per diem basis, the payment would be the operating rate multiplied by the claim length of stay. Okay, the like I mentioned in the formula section, there is a transfer provision, and so to the extent that a claim payment is prorated or reduced from the full DRG payment, that calculation is shown in the transfer pay field. There's a field here, DRG adjuster, that this shows the applicable policy adjuster factor applied to the claim-based payment. In this particular example, there is no policy adjuster, so it shows up as a factor of 1. But that policy adjuster factor would be applied in that field there, so you can see how that affects the claim payment. And then we show the claim payment before outliers. So like I mentioned, there is an outlier provision for the acute DRG services. The outlier payment is triggered if the cost of the claim exceeds the outlier threshold. The outlier threshold is equal to the base DRG payment plus a fixed loss threshold of $21,821. And that fixed loss threshold is based on the Medicare system. So if the claim cost exceeds, in this particular example, $28,854, then the claim would be eligible for an outlier payment. And the outlier payment is equal to the cost exceeding the outlier threshold multiplied by the outlier percentage. Okay. So you can see in this claim example, I'll go up through here, that the cost of the claim is $28,942, whereas the outlier threshold is $28,854, so the cost exceeds the outlier threshold. The outlier payment is equal to the cost exceeding the threshold multiplied by the outlier percentage. And for this particular claim, the outlier percentage is 0.8 or 80%, and that results in an outlier payment of around $70. The outlier percentage depends on the severity of illness of the claim. And if you're familiar with APR DRGs, every DRG has a severity of illness level ranging from 1 to 4, 4 being the most severe. So claims with a severity of illness level of 1 or 2 have an outlier percentage of 80%, and claims with a severity of illness of 3 or 4 has an outlier percentage of 95%. So that it depends on the DRG assignment in terms of the outlier parameters used. We've also modeled a charge cap. So if the claim payments under the DRG system exceed the claim charges, then the DRG payment would be capped at charges. It's important to note that MPA MHVA is not counted against the charge cap. So MPMHVA would be made on top of that, regardless of the claim charges. We've provided a transfer flag that to the extent you'd like to filter the data and identify the claims where there was a transfer, we've provided that flag field for you. We then go through and then calculate the claim-based payments with the Smart Act reductions applied. Okay, so we take the base DRG payment plus the outlier payment, and then apply the applicable Smart Act reduction factor. We then bring in the MPA-MHVA amount, again, assuming that rolls forward like it is under the current system, to come up with the total allowed amount under the new system with Smart Act reductions applied. Okay, so this payment example is provided in each of the claims data extracts, and so it's there for your reference. The remaining two tabs show you the actual results of the shadow pricing. We have here just a dummy example. This isn't real data, but an example of, for a provider, we would show the total claims in our model and then the payments under the current system, and then payments under the new system and an estimated payment change. And we provide this level of information in aggregate, but we also break this out by category of service. So category service 20 represents acute services, 21 is psych, 22 is rehab, and then also for the LTAC providers, we break out their the LTAC services separately. So this gives you a high-level feel for the impact and the results by service type within inpatient. And then lastly, the actual claims data is included in the claims tab on the far right. You know, obviously we can't show a real claim extract, but what we've done is to include in our model the unique discharges in our model, and so those will be listed down the page here or down the schedule. One thing to note is that in our pricing model, since we're modeling things under a DRG per discharge payment system, that we have gone through and consolidated interim bill claims into a single discharge. So providers who have submitted interim bills for the same discharge, perhaps you're paid on a per diem basis now or what have you, but we went through and consolidated or merged those claims into a single record. And so that's how you'll see it in your model claims data extracts. You'll see one record, although we understand that there were actually multiple claims submitted for the service. Same goes for transplant services. We have consolidated multiple claims related to the same discharges into a single claim record. Under the current system, you can submit separate claims for the pre-operation, the operation, and the post-operation service. But again, we've consolidated all of that into one record. So as you tie this to your own records, it may look a little bit different in terms of series bill versus a merge bill. But hopefully that explains the reason why. Again, the claims data extract, it's organized such that we provide claim level information at the start, and then as I scroll through here, we have a series of columns indicated with the current system. We have this arrow here that shows you that the next series of columns relate to payments under the current system, and I just walked through, again, these are the same fields that we just walked through in the example. And again, if you're really interested in seeing what you received under the current system for each claim, refer to column AI, total supplemental Medicaid legislative payment, which again it shows the claim-based payment plus an allocation of supplemental payments. And then again we have a series of columns showing the payments under the new system, and again showing the same fields that we just walked through. But again, if you're interested in sort of the bottom line of what you would receive under the new system for each claim, refer to the last column, column BN, total proposed total payment post reduction, and that would allow you to compare those amounts. So with that, let's go ahead and open up if there's any questions for inpatient, and we'll take some questions on that, and then we do need to save some time for outpatient, but if there's any questions on inpatient, let's go ahead and take those now. So Jasmine, can we open up the line for questions?
Again, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Rochelle Solve.
Hi, this is Rochelle. I wanted to know if you could tell me on the shadow pricing data, the supplemental payments that are shown here, what state fiscal year are you expecting those were from?
Right, good question. So what we've done, and let me provide a little context. The models, the modeled rates were based on state fiscal year 2011 data. So the supplemental payments that we used were from state fiscal year 2011, as well as the claims data that we used originally was from state fiscal year 2011. And now we've taken all of that and we've applied it to more recent data in the shadow pricing period. So what we're showing here is 2011 supplemental payments, because that was the basis for the funding pool when we designed or developed the model DRG base rates.
Okay, thank you.
Again, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And there are no further audio questions at this time.
Okay, great. So I will now go through the outpatient claims data extract. And for the outpatient claims data extract, the thing to keep in mind about how the new EAPG system will work is that it's similar to the Medicare APC system in that you do the pricing at the claim detail line level, and then you can roll everything up for each claim and then summarize the data at the header level. So in our data extracts, we have provided data at both the claim header level and the detail line level, and you really need both to be able to compare the new system to the current system, because the current APL system is more of a header level payment. So let me walk you through the extract. We have, a header level table that represents one record for each claim. We have a detail level table that lists for each claim the detail lines within each claim. And then we have a data dictionary for both the header table and the claim detail line table, again, explaining the data source, whether it was based on something reported in the claim or our calculation or the EAPG grouper output. So, again, those are for your reference. But first, let me walk through the EAPG pricing at the detail line level. So the way that the extract is organized is that first, and these are example claims, these aren't real claims data, but first we show data reported in the claim that will allow you to tie data back to your own records, and we show the claim number and then the provider information, the revenue codes and the HCPCS reported in the claim and the associated units, as well as the charges. Then we have a series of columns that start with column W through column, we'll go column AI, that shows the EAPG grouper output. Okay, and if you're not familiar with how EAPGs work, every claim line receives an EAPG assignment, sort of like the inpatient DRG system, okay? But then the EAPG grouper goes through a process of determining which of the claim detail lines would receive a full payment under the EAPG system. So the main significant procedure provided during the visit would receive a full payment, okay? But if there are other procedures provided on the same visit and they're deemed to be either literally the same service or if they're deemed to be clinically similar to the main significant procedure, then the consolidation flag would be part of the EAPG grouper output. And if that is present on a particular claim detail line, then a payment is not made for that particular service, that line. If there are multiple procedures provided during the same visit and the EAPG grouper determines that they're clinically unrelated, then the main significant procedure would receive the full EAPG payment, but the clinically related procedure, I'm sorry, the clinically unrelated procedure would be discounted, and so that would be flagged in the multiple procedure discounting flag. And then in that instance, the payment would be equal to the EAPG payment multiplied times 50%. There are also other discounting flags as part of the EAPG system, where if there are similar ancillary services that are repeated during the same visit, those would be subject to discounting. And this is very similar to the Medicare APC system, if there is a bilateral service where a service was or a procedure was done on you know both sides of a patient body, rather than receiving a full payment for both sides, there would be a full payment for one side and then a 50% of the payment for the second side. And then there's also a terminated procedure discounting based on the CPT modifiers report in the claim, where if that is present, then the claim payment would be reduced by 50%. There is also a packaging indicator and this is for ancillary services. There is a series of ancillary services under EPG. They are the lowest cost ancillary services that are always packaged. And what that means is that it's zero paid. There is not a separate payment made for that particular ancillary service. And the idea is that the relative weight for the main significant procedure that does receive 100% of the payment, that relative weight reflects the average cost, the average ancillary services that are typically provided along with that significant procedure. So the payment is directed to the main significant procedure as opposed to making sort of a la carte payments for each individual ancillary service. So you can see for this particular claim, the first two lines here, lines 1 and 2, are ancillary services selected for packaging, and so separate payments would not be made for those services. So we provide here the EPG assignment for each claim detail line. We provide the relative weight, we're relying on the 3M national weights, both for inpatient and outpatient, the relative weight for each EPG. And then in column AK, we have the discounted relative weight that takes the 3M national weight and applies any discounting or packaging that occurs. So you can see for the first two lines, although there is a relative weight for these services, since they are packaged, we've set their relative weight to zero for pricing purposes. But for lines 3 and 4, line 3 is an EPG of 470, an obstetrical ultrasound, which is considered an ancillary service, but is not targeted for packaging. Okay, so we roll forward the relative weight. We do not discount it or set it to zero. And then the last detail line, line 4, EPG 196, is that is considered the significant procedure in the claim, and that's reflected. You can see it has the highest relative weight of all these services. And so, you know, obviously, that is not discounted. That is the main payment for the claim. So as this example shows, it's important to note and to contrast to the current APL system, under EPGs, you can receive separate payments for more than one service provided during the same visit. Granted, there's a significant amount of bundling and packaging that happens, but you can receive, payment for more than one service, whereas under the current system, under APLs, you can only be paid for one service, that being the sort of the highest weighted or highest paid APL present in the claim. So that's how we came up with the discounted relative weight for each of the detail lines in the extract. The next series of columns go through the actual payment rate in our model. This column AL is, you can think of this like the standardized amount, the starting point for all hospitals. We then go through and adjust the labor portion of the standardized amount for wage index and come up with the provider's outpatient conversion factor. And so that can be found in column AO in the extract. and then the simulated or modeled payment under EPGs is equal to the discounted relative weight times the provider conversion factor. It is important to note in certain cases we have multiplied the EPG payment times the units in the claim, and we did that in instances where we identified that there was serious billing present in the claim, so that, you know, we could see that there was a service provided over multiple service dates. The intention of EPGs is to make separate payments for each separate visit, and so to the extent that a procedure is repeated over multiple visits, there would be separate payments in the claim. And that's not completely how it's billed under the current system. So we've made adjustments to try to reflect that in the pricing under the new system to make sure that we're trying to reflect separate visits in the claim. So, again, we calculate the proposed EPG payment. Certain providers are subject to a high volume adjustment factor. Those are the highest outpatient volume hospitals, and the safety net hospitals have a high volume adjustment factor. That is it's about 32%, and so that would be an enhancement to the outpatient claim payment, and that will be reflected in the model for those providers subject to the high volume adjustment. And then as the last step in the pricing, we apply the SMART Act reduction to the providers, again, who are subject to that reduction factor. So you can see here that, again, this is an example for a single claim. If you sum up the payments under the EPG system and then go over to the outpatient header level table, you can see, scrolling to the right, that that when you sum together the detailed lines and the payments associated with those lines, that will add up to the payments at the claim header level. And the outpatient header level table is where you can go about comparing payments under the current system to the new system. We show the basic claim information, the provider ID, again, the provider reference number that ought to allow you to tie this back to your own records. We show the claim-based payment, apply any SMART Act reductions that need to happen. We do include an allocation of supplemental payments. This example doesn't have one, but to the extent that if you are a provider who receives supplemental payments for outpatient, we are allocating those to each individual claim, and that would allow you to see a total payment with SMART Act reductions with supplemental payments. And so if you're looking for what you would be paid under the current system for a particular service, you can look at the Excel column M or the labeled column L. That's what you'd be paid under the current system. And then towards the right, we show that the total EEPG payments, Excel column S, labeled column R, and that would allow you to compare and see the impact for each claim on the outpatient side. Again, unfortunately, in terms of trying to do a service line analysis, because of the way that the EEPG system works, where we're pricing things out at a detail line level, and because the current system prices things out at the header level, you can't really look at the impact by EEPG. You do really need to look at it at the claim header level when looking at the impact from the current to the new system. So with that, let's go ahead, Jasmine, if you could open it up again for questions on outpatient or any questions that you have about the shadow pricing. Jasmine, do we have any questions?
Your first question comes from the line of Rochelle Luxall.
Hi, Rochelle again. I have a question about the adjusters that you mentioned before in the inpatient model.
Yes.
So there is a digit given to specify the amount of adjuster, but we cannot see specifically the dollar amount by each adjuster, right, because all the adjusters are rolled in together. So if you have more than one adjuster applying, then we can't see the differing amounts?
So let's see. So to clarify a little bit, the adjusters are not overlapping for a particular claim. So you couldn't – a single claim could not have more than one adjuster. So there's going to be a unique adjuster for each claim. In terms of the impact, if you're trying to quantify what payment enhancements you're receiving from the policy adjuster, I'm sort of thinking out loud here, but the final DRG payment field, let's see if this works. You have the operating payment here. Outlier payment here. mathematically, probably the simplest way to do it would be to take your final DRG payment, divide it by the policy adjuster, and then take the difference, and that ought to tell you the enhancement you received. You could also take the DRG payment plus the outlier payment before any before the enhancement, and then compare that to the total after the enhancement to tell you the difference. But to clarify, the policy adjuster is applied after you determine the outlier payment, so it does not affect the outlier threshold, and so it's applied sort of equally to the base DRG payment and the outlier payment. And so you can simply try to back off the policy adjuster, and that ought to, from the allowed amount with the policy adjuster, and that ought to tell you the difference or the increase associated with that policy adjuster. Does that answer your question?
I think so, but you did say that there could only be one policy adjuster per claim.
That's correct. So there's a policy adjuster for transplant DRGs. There's a policy adjuster for trauma level 1 and level 2 providers, but only for trauma DRGs billed from those providers. And then there's also a perinatal level 3 adjuster, but only for obstetrical, normal newborn, and neonatal DRGs at those providers. So since all of these policy adjustments are tied to a specific DRG, they are mutually exclusive.
So you couldn't have a pediatric trauma?
You could. So the trauma DRG would be subject to the trauma policy adjuster, but the policy adjuster is for perinatal level 3 is not pediatric. It's specific to the series of DRGs for neonatal, normal newborn, and obstetrical services, which is a separate set from the trauma DRGs that we've identified in the model.
Okay.
And so if it'd be helpful, and Dan, I don't know if there's a list out there of the DRGs that fall into each of the policy adjuster categories, but we can see if we can't provide something that could give you that information.
Sure, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Rick Shoemaker.
Rick Shoemaker, Sanford, Effingham. On the outpatient data, on the inpatient data, you can kind of compare the change in reimbursement by DRG. But how do you compare the outpatient data based on procedures or I know,
right.
the two files, one has like an R file, for example, it's like 76,000 lines, but the next tab has like 14,000 lines where it's rolling something up. We're trying to determine which procedures are winners, which ones are losers.
Right, and so that, you're absolutely right that is a challenge because, again, under EAPGs, we're pricing out individual claim detail lines, but for the current APL system, there's the one payment for all the lines in the claim. And the way the APL system works is that the state identifies the APL for each line, basically assigns a rate to each of them, and then picks the service with the highest rate, and that's the basis for the whole claim.
Right.
So it's I suppose you could try to go in and figure out for each detail line under the current system which line triggered the payment under APLs. That's not really something available in the claims data currently. Dan, I don't know if you have any thoughts on how you could go about doing that, but it is tricky because it's a little bit of an apples and oranges comparison, again, because of the sort of the header versus detail line determination of payments under the current system.
Yeah, this is Dan. Our website currently has a list of the Apple codes and the rates associated with them so that you could find which code maps to the highest payment amount and to the Apple that you get paid for. so that you could see which code is driving the current reimbursement amount.
It's just hard to measure the impact, I guess, of the change. Overall, it appears to be favorable for us, but I can't really see which procedures we're going to gain on and which ones we may lose on.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you could, I'm thinking out loud here. I mean, you could take, I suppose, the detail line tab and try to identify, you know, for each claim what the sort of the highest payment was, which would give you a feel for the procedure that received the highest payment within each claim, and then try to compare that to the outpatient header level information. But again, it's just, the trick is that there's just, there are going to be instances where you receive payment for two or three different types of services during a visit, whereas under the current system, you only were paid for one thing.
But we right, can, into, this is Dan again, and two, I do want to emphasize, you know, when you're looking at your outpatient claims, like you said, it looks like you come out favorably. Just for everyone's frame of mind, that we have moved money from inpatient to outpatient, so you should see the outpatient rates reimbursement under the newer system a little higher than the current system.
And I would say, yeah, that is one of the advantages to EAPGs, that you can, since it's easier to tie it to individual services, it is easier to see how you're faring for different types of procedures, but understanding that does make it tricky to try to compare it to the current system.
Your next question comes from the line of Bobby Stumbo.
Hi, thank you. We received our outpatient file, but did not receive, or I'm sorry, we received the inpatient file, but not the outpatient file. Is there some kind of separate request that we need to do for that outpatient file?
And Bobby, which hospital are you with?
Pasevant Area Hospital.
We will make sure that you get that file.
Thank you.
Okay.
There are no further audio questions at this time.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone again for taking the time today to listen into the webinar. I hope that this cleared up some things for you. And Ben, I want to thank you as well for walking through these files, both in the inpatient and outpatient side. As the outpatient, as people get into those claims files, you'll see that it is going to be different on the outpatient payments as it was compared to our legacy Apple list reimbursement. So I think that this was good to have. In order for everyone to get a little more comfortable with what they're looking at. And again, I'd just like to remind everyone, if you have feedback for the department, to email us those that feedback to hfs.hospitals@illinois.gov so that we can get your feedback as we move forward through this process. So again, thank you all very much.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.